All right, I'm here in the studio with Doug and Juan Isidro, and we're going to talk about music, art. They're both artists from Taos Pueblo, and just to give a little bit of context about this radio show, this is called Where We Meet. It's a show of Taos Center for the Arts, and it is supported by the Northern Rio Grande Heritage Area, so we thank them for their support. All right, let's go into this conversation. I'm excited to have you both here. Doug, you're a musician, and you've been part of the Hell Creek Drum Group of Taos Pueblo, and also of Potency, which is a collective of hip-hop artists also from Taos Pueblo. Juan Isidro, you're a writer, a poet. You've participated in local gatherings and, I think, contests for poetry. And recently, you both have started collaborating together. I'm super excited to have you in the studio. And I wonder if both of you could tell us a little more about how you came to becoming artists.
Word, right on. Good morning. Thank you for having us on KNCE. Good morning, everybody out there listening. Shout out to everybody who's been helping on the path of my artistry. Yeah, go first.
Hey, everybody, Juan Isidro, the poet here. Good to see everybody. Not really seeing you, but hey, we're here at the studio here with the young lady, and let's see, to answer your questions,
how did you come to poetry?
How did I come to poetry? I came to poetry. It's actually kind of a funny story. We had a class in high school called the Native American History class, and mind you, this class was never taught by a Native American. I think it might be now. I don't know, but hopefully it is. Taos High School there. So we were in the back of the classroom, and we were sitting there, and we were rolling up a doobie. You know, I know, sorry, principal didn't catch us that time. We're rolling up a doobie in the back of the classroom there, and our substitute teacher, Ann McNaughton, who is a very integral part of my story, Ann McNaughton was there, and she was showing us some videos from Sherman Alexie's poetry slam, some of his readings, and he was reading a poem about basketball, right, on the reservation. And of course, my smart behind with my loud voice, you know, I piped up, you know, ever the class clown. I was like, I could read something better than that, and she accepted the challenge. So rather than call attention to our activities in the back of the classroom, you know, I went up and I read my poem, which was about Priestland. It's a place where we play basketball on the reservation at Taos Pueblo, and from there, the connection grew. I mean, I was almost inseparable from Anne after that. She took me under her wing. She taught me almost everything that I know about poetry. I mean, 99% of what I know about poetry comes from her and her partner, Peter Rabbit, the late, great Peter Rabbit. Both of them were my mentors growing up, and that's how it happened.
Thank you. What about you, Doc?
Word, learn something new every day. I mean, my artistry and my whole sense of being and self came at a pretty young age. Used to always travel to do social powwow dancing throughout the area. As a kid, as I was learning to walk, I was, you know, wearing an outfit and dancing we used to be on the powwow trail a lot. So as I knew that growing up, performing, hearing songs all the time, I was getting older, and I had a group of older bros who were making their own beats, writing their own poetry for their own music. And as I was growing into the person I am today, I was just really into that as well. Growing up, we would listen to all types of music, and then we started, you know, focusing in and listening into like underground hip-hop, you know, stuff that stuff that, you know, grows the conscience and stuff that, you know, shows you a way of life that is positive for one. And what we did with that is we just started creating our own music. And I remember the older bros were doing it first, and I was just always, you know, listening and watching and observing what they were doing. And what happened was I was already like writing my own poetry, even though they, you know, they were older, you know, 5+ years older. And what we ended up doing was just collaborating, making music. I think I wrote my first poetry verse rhyme that went on a song, like when I was like in 2006, the year 2006. It's like almost 15 years ago. And then from there, I just took off. I had this confidence with me because I had my older bros showing me the way. And we made so much music that we ended up turning it into a group. There was like 9 or 10 of us always in the studio together. We called ourselves Potency. And shout out to B and Life for creating that. And we had our cool little arrowhead sign that we do. If you hear Potency, you hear that arrow. The arrowhead sign always comes right after that when we listen to the music. And you know, for me, that signifies that just that strength of what people in our own community can be doing, and you know, reaching our dreams. So you know, fast forward to today, about probably like within the last 10 years, I've been a dancer my whole life, and I, you know, started taking more action to learn the songs that I was dancing to. So I started singing not all my life, but that's how I started with the Hill Creek drum group. We, you know, always listening and dancing to their songs growing up. It was a huge honor, and it still is. My late brother Nick Kuncha, he was the one that got me into, you know, singing with the group. And it was just a couple of families that were, you know, real close with the drum group, and that's how I got in the Hail Creek drum group. And you know, we still go through travel throughout the country and represent Taos Pueblo, Hail Creek, Taos Pueblo. But yeah, with the hip hop, it just continued. We just kept making more music, and we have about 25 plus albums with our Potency crew. And I've been a part of a lot of collaborations with different artists. Right now, I'm still working. I'm still trying to make my own music on my own. You know, everyone just kind of goes their solo directions after a while, and we are still, the group's still there, the music's still there. We just, I think at this time, are taking our own directions on how we feel, how we can be artists individually. So, you know, with all the different stories of the ups and downs from how I started, that's kind of the gist of how it all began for Doc, the High Hawk.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And I wonder, the last step here seems to be, how did you both start collaborating together? Because I got in touch with you both because you performed at TCA maybe a month ago. And so I'm wondering, what was that step here that connected you both?
That's all thanks to one lady who runs a program called Taos Pueblo Recovery Works. Her name is Sunshine Duran.
What up?
She, shout out to her, man. Big boss lady, man. She takes care of us. We're part of a recovery program at Taos Pueblo. It's called Recovery Works. And that's how we ended up making the connection. Another big thank you for that goes to James Nave, a local poet, all-around cool guy, James Nave. A lot of folks know that guy. He came to me and asked me if I would sign on to be a part of the Leaf Festival in Asheville, North Carolina. When he was doing so, he asked if there was anybody else that I knew that would be a good representative, you know, culturally at this event. And yeah, that the only person I could think of that had the same kind of drive, the same kind of hunger, the same kind of ambition to be out there that would match myself, that would match my energy, was Doc. And since we were both in the recovery program together, we could, you know, make that time to be around one another, get to know each other better, and really make this collaboration more of like a relationship than anything else. So, you know, it's been that, you know, and you know, again, big shout out to Sunshine Duran, Taos Pueblo Recovery Works, and of course, James Nave.
Thank you. Well, I was going to get to the festival a little later, but I wonder, as we're talking about it, if you could tell us a little bit about what this LEAF Festival is and what you presented out there.
Right on. The LEAF Festival is a multicultural gathering of people. It's sort of like Woodstock in a way, a lot more artistry, a lot more learning, a lot more education. LEAF Learning Education Arts Festival, right? It's in Asheville, North Carolina. They hold it 2 times a year in the fall. In the spring, it's more of a writer's kind of retreat, kind of a writer's thing there. But the one in the fall that we attended, again, it's a multicultural gathering, music, artistry, spoken word. The Southern Fried Poetry Slam takes place during this event. That's taken the place of the National Slam as it is now, because it's the most nationally recognized one. And it's this year's theme was Legends of the Americas, so naturally a lot of indigenous communities were represented there this year. We got to rub elbows with the likes of like Superman, Hallucination, Martha Redbone, Auntie Martha Redbone. Oh man, she was my favorite. It was quite the gathering. 8,000 plus people. We were joking. The one thing that we noticed that kept in our minds the entire time was that, you know, there was no animosity, there was no violence, there was no getting out of hand, there wasn't even any disagreements. Yeah, that was the joke. We didn't hear one. No, you know, all we heard was just you know, everybody was in a good place. So really good energy out there.
That's great. So what did you guys bring to that festival, given the theme?
What we did is shout out to Sky Eagle Collection.
Dante,
their local. Global at this point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Fashion designers.
And we got to, what we did is what we represented ourselves wearing that that kind of fashion out there. And it was more of just representing ourselves, especially we come from two different backgrounds, but you know, not so different, you know, after all, our two different poetry backgrounds. What we did is we just went out there knowing that, you know, there wasn't too much Southwest representation for a festival in America that was, you know, called Legends of America. So we took that and we used that. Juan shared some pieces of his poetry. I did some music and I also did some singing. Took my hand drum out there with my drumstick and got through TSA and I didn't have no problems. There and back. That's how we did, just like we would do here if we were asked to perform or asked to share.
We mixed it up, you know, a blend of spoken word, traditional social dance songs, powwow songs in a sense, powwow songs, right? Yeah. Powwow songs, and some hip hop. You know, a lot of that, of course, was Doc. You know, I was the spoken word part. He was the hip hop and the drumming part. And man, the people ate it up. We were the only representatives from the Southwest there. Of course, there were other Native Americans, you know, from the area. But as far as representing the Southwest, it was kind of falling on me and Doc's shoulders. And when we went out there, we were a little nervous about how we were going to present ourselves, and you know, such a heavy responsibility. You know, we reached out to our elders, spoke to, you know, people on both sides of the tribal government there. We spoke to some elders from tribal council and asked them, you know, what kind of message we should carry out there. And they all, without saying it all the exact same way, they all said, you know, let them know we're still here. Mm-hmm. So we went out there and we were loud and we were clear, and we were consistent, and people ate it up, man. We got a lot of praise about, you know, going way beyond the expectation that they were thinking we were going to bring. You know, they thought we were going to be this little kind of quiet, you know, kind of thing, but no, we were out there, and we let them know we were still here, you know, a little ammo. So
that's great. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. And what I find very interesting about what you both are sharing here is that you went there representing this part of the world, and specifically Taos Pueblo. And I wonder if that's also something that goes on in your art when you are writing, writing either lyrics or words or music, if there is a part of you that is thinking about your own culture as people from Taos Pueblo or globally from the Southwest, and how that comes through, if that's in some ways like a reflecting practice that you have, or if it just happens to come together naturally in the process.
Right. Yeah, well, for me, when I'm writing something new, it would have to be, I'm just using my whole self, and, you know, just the different ways that I grew up learning how to process, whether it be emotions or just you know, daily life activities. So when I write, I definitely know where I come from is universal. So when I do write, I really try to think about everybody, that how can everybody understand me on that universal level, of course using local slang, using terms that no one uses, but I think as artists we have a responsibility, you know, to share and to just be able to show ourselves, like our true selves. And I think that's all it is. We had talked about this before we went out there, and just in our processes with when we were, you know, showing each other our art. I think a lot of it is to say that what we do and how we grew up, you know, the things, and when we go out there to represent ourselves, it just falls in that category of being universal, you know. That's why all artists that should represent where we're from, they always get that kind of, they get it back from the crowd, and they get to hear, they're well taken from the crowds and the audiences that, you know, we all share. Mm-hmm. But so for me, it's just being myself and just trying to just represent who I am, and then in turn that represents like the area and the Southwest.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Doc.
So,
for me, it's I would have to say it kind of comes quite natural. I've been writing since the seventh grade. I didn't meet Anne McNaughton or Peter Rabbit until the ninth grade, so I was already kind of into it on my own. And I would have to say that being Taos Pueblo is what makes it come natural. You know, I mean, I'm naturally from Taos Pueblo. My mom is Mexican, so there's that part of it as well. You know, I feel like I can dance a little bit between all three worlds, you know, the my Mexican side, my Taos Pueblo side, and of course, out here off the reservation past that cattle guard, you know. So, it's just who I am. I've always been a writer. When I'm not writing, I'm not myself. And I just can't be more thankful for Doc and for the recovery program and for Nave and all the people that have supported us, because I'll be honest, I haven't been on stage, I haven't done a gig, I haven't really written in decades. I started coming back into myself last year when I did the Second Chance Thankful show for Somos. Somos was gracious enough to allow me the space in there to reclaim my seat, you know, at the table of poets here in Taos. And so now that I'm feeling more myself again, it's I would have to say it's quite natural.
Thank you. Juan Isidro, I feel like that's a perfect segue into asking you if you would share some of your art, some of your writing. I don't know if you're up for reading it right now on the radio.
All right. I hope the mayor's paying attention to this one. It's called Local Native. This poem got me fourth place at the Southern Fried Poetry Slam, fourth place in the nation. Sorry I couldn't bring back the title to Taos, but next year will be better because I'll be a little bit more versed, a little bit more rehearsed. And all right, here you go, Local Native. The use of the terms local and native, in that order, a careful combination, to say the least. A strategic pair, go sneaking along an obsidian edge to imply a genealogical connection to the earth one treads. Sacred lands to peoples whose ancestors make every grain of earth, and only lightly do willful weighted words honor ancient valor, if at all. While I speak knots into yucca reeds from one end of the reservation to another, the town crier that won't lift the veil from this valley, much less the spirit of rebellion. Champions of historical fact will throw books, call out to you, brother, and marginalize your tribe's origin, your oral tradition, your pain and your suffering and your tribe's story. When the use of the terms local and native, in that order, carefully combine, strategic the pair, tiptoe along lips of gentricized valleys, insulting the echoes, marginalized voices who create them locally. An invisible haze, ancestral hate, jealousy looms like last night's winter fire smoke, patiently waiting over this Spanish colonial town to wake and breathe in that first hint of yesterday. Jealousy, after a few cups of choke cherry wine, sounds like, at least you're Indian. And after a few beers, sounds like, you Indios can hunt whenever you want, huh? And after a few shots of tequila, sounds like, you guys get all kinds of stuff for free. So when the use of the terms local and native, in that order, produce a God-given satisfaction over lands one holds through a grandfathered God-given right to, this poem might be about you. In Taos, letters of acknowledgement are read at the start of every event because Taosenos want you to know the land, because Taosenos want you to know the native land is stolen and they aren't giving it back. Locals, gods, ain't no Indian giver. And still, right downtown, in La Plaza, in bronze statue, the gallows still stand, where locals hung natives, ever the reminder that local comes before native.
Thank you. Thank you for sharing.
You're welcome. I know. It's okay. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate you sharing this today. That was great and impactful and important. So all that.
Yeah.
Appreciate it. What's that?
I was just saying the poet.
I know. So good. I appreciate it. I'm finding myself not knowing how to move forward from this poem. But I think we'll jump into
I think you wanted to ask about our audience.
Yes, I did.
So, obviously this poem is directed at a very particular, very localized audience. Mm-hmm. It's what I do. I feel that Taos Pueblo has gone very, just way too long without a voice, without a large, strong presence in this community, as far as decision making and as far as the greater community goes. Mm-hmm. I think Taos Pueblo has been used as a marketing scheme for a long time. Mm-hmm. And it's high time we have a seat at the table. The mayor at one point had said that he was going to appoint someone from Taos Pueblo to his council cabinet, and he has yet to do so. That's why I said at the beginning, I hope he's listening to this one. You know, I come with the thunder. I do not mince words. You know, that's something that Anne and Peter Rabbit taught me when it comes to my poetry. This is supposed to be a mirror for society. And by gummit, if I have to be that voice to say the things that maybe some people aren't comfortable enough to say, then that's my role.
Thank you. it seems so very important, and it makes me want to jump to the last question actually I had for you guys. We'll go back to the other ones. I think you're going to be working with youth, or you want to engage with members of your community, and I wonder if that's connected directly to what you're talking about giving a voice to your community, to say things that have not been said maybe loud enough. I wonder if you guys can talk about that.
I do. I do. I want to work with our youth. I want to, you know, I have been doing so early on in my years when I first graduated high school. And then, of course, you know, alcoholism, addiction, those things happened. Life happened. And I lost sight of my goal. And again, now that I'm feeling more myself again, you know, I want to do more for our tribe. It's like I said, you know, we have such a small voice outside that cattle guard, you know, and even within those confines, within the reservation, there's much work to be done. And you know, I don't want to sound like a defeatist or a pessimist or anything like that, but you know, for someone my age, I'm 42 years old. You know, the ship has kind of sailed already. You know, there's still goals and aspirations to attain and to achieve, but you know, I'm looking towards my son's futures. You know, I got an 18-year-old, a 17-year-old, a 13-year-old, and a 12-year-old, and then they have, you know, Doc has a 6-year-old. Man, we got to think about his son too. You know, and then we got to think about our grandchildren. If my sons are listening, not right away, please. But, you know, we got to think about our grandchildren. And so that's where it's kind of at for me. And through the help of Sunshine Duran, June Romero, Sean Lujan, Alfred Montoya, they, you know, those guys, those are, they're kind of being like our mentors right now. And they're kind of showing us a better way. And so, yeah. That's what,
yeah. Word, yeah, to answer that, we, you know, we always think about our children and, you know, the future we're going to leave them. For me, I always thought, try to leave it a better place than when we got here. But in those senses, I have done some work, some hip hop work, some drumming work with some of the schools in my past. I have signed up and I've taught classes at some of the high schools here. Just the simple, you know, basic elements of hip hop and what I knew, because I've been doing this for a long time. And as a youth, that's something that kind of saved me and kind of tried to keep me going in the right path, knowing that I had the responsibility of having a voice. So for me, it's about trying to, as young as we can get them, what we want to try and do is introduce them to poetry and to hip-hop. Hip-hop has, you know, a few different types of expression. There's dance, there's DJing, there's, you know, using words, there's, you know, even just putting that all together and making stuff happen. What we always wanted to do was bring artists to Taos, and you know, so that we can start making that kind of environment. But what I've been doing is I recently worked with Taos Behavioral Health, and I think it was during their winter camp last year, I went ahead and shout out to my partner Angel. She got that set up. But we there's just these, you know, the group of people, like-minded people who are connecting that are thinking about this kind of stuff for our youth. And I just did a basic writing class. I know I'm, you know, where I'm at with my writing, but I was able to at least talk to them about hip hop, get an idea of what these kids were, you know, listening to, and just try and map it all together as I go. But at least what I want to do is get the foot in the door for people that are more experienced and have more, or even just to get that flow of education going in and out of the doors of where our kids go every day. I met some guy from Uganda out there at the Leaf Festival who had recently just came to Taos with a group of kids from Uganda, and he showed them their dance, their music, you know, all their culture or their ways of life. And when I picked up my son that day, he was totally psyched. He was, you know, talking about it for a couple days. Shout out to JoJo.
That was probably the best part of it, the Leaf Festival.
Yeah.
Like, we made so many good connections.
And it was those connections and, you know, knowing that before we went out to the Leaf Festival, what we are trying to do is trying to get this Turning Leaf Showcase, something that we can take into the schools, something that we can bring artists from the Leaf Festival or even just artists in our area to try and get in there. And I know it's being done right now, but we need to, implement it to our community, which we have a ton of artists that are probably just waiting around for, you know, people to get something together so we can get in there and teach our kids
as much as we can.
And even here, I also come from the Jicarilla Reservation, where the past couple years I've been doing singing classes. We actually have classes set up next year for like drum making for our youth, our community out there, the Jicarilla Apaches. And even just this past year, I helped with singing and drumming for the global app that they're going to be using for their language. Their global language app that they're putting out there very soon, but I was, you know, able to contribute some songs and singing and just, you know, trying to get my foot in the door, like I said, so that flow of education and learning and love can come towards our community, which it already has been, but we're here now and we want to start making those changes, because we called it the Turning Leaf Showcase, because like he said, you know, shout out to Recovery Works, we're in a sense turning our leaves and trying to, you know, make things better for our youth. Me and Juan can't do everything and fix everything, so what we're learning is making connections. There's somebody that can do something very well, and that's what we want to, you know, shout out to everybody out there that's working in the community. I've been working with my good friend Miles Bonney. Shout out to DJ Miles, man. He feels like every time we do a session to make music, it's like some therapy music session, and we're just trying to, you know, make good music. So if you have a bad day or a good day, you can be jamming. Well, I've been, you know, I got tons of music to come, and so yeah, to keep it on the note, we are definitely setting up things to where the youth are more involved. And like he said, he has kids, I have kids. We're trying to aim at that audience to try and get, you know, get this community, keep it going with the youth.
Thank you so much, Doc. That's such important work. And I wonder if we can bridge that to the song Let's Grow that came out a couple of years ago, I think, in 2021.
Yeah, 2021.
And I feel like it's carrying a similar message. Mm-hmm. It's very positive. It's very grounded. It's about youth and things coming, like, growing bigger and healthy. And I wonder if you can talk about the song, and then maybe a last chance for you both to share what you want to share on the radio, and then we'll listen to the song and wrap up the conversation.
All right, word. Shout out to Fate Beats. He's the one that asked me. I mean, naturally, we come from Taos Pueblo. I was doing a lot of landscaping work, a lot of farming work, which, you know, everybody around here does on the hot days and spring and summer. But when he asked me, I was reading this book called One Straw Revolution. I don't remember the author, but it was just, you know, I was learning how to farm better. I was doing all these things. And when he asked me, I was able to get a verse for him in like it was record time, because I all throughout the year I was just coming up with all these different ideas of what to say, you know, like all these just these funny farmer cliches, and my verse is really fast, and I had to like cut this verse in half because I wrote so much. I had to pick out the best lines that I was writing at the time, and it was just so, I was so happy to like show it to my coworkers, show it to my boss, like before it came out, show it to all my bros who like have the farming thing down. And but yeah, shout out to Fate, aka Cody, also known as Cody Maribel, but I call him Fate, you know. He's the, he was a big part of my career making music, but he, Dr. Fate, he came out with an album, and that song's on Let's Grow. Let's Grow is on that album, and I was just really happy to be a part of it. But the song wasn't actually nominated for the New Mexico Music Awards. It was the video that was nominated for the, you know, most authentic video. Which was really fun to shoot as well. I think that like solidified the whole song. And if you get a chance, look up Let's Grow by Fate and Doc on YouTube. It's a pretty cool, well put together video. My bro has like thousands of bees on his face, and I'm like eating an onion and dancing grass dance. And but naturally, it was just something that I...
It was Bizzuto that did it, right?
Yeah, Michael Bizzuto. He was our film dude. He is the film dude. So
the film dude.
The film dude right now. Mm-hmm. But word, yeah, it was a good song. And like I said, I wish I had longer on the song. It seems like the song is just the amount of time. And it was just really great that he asked me, because I was just already ready. Before he asked, I already had it together at that time. But yeah, that was during 2020 when we made the video and this and the song. But yeah, it was kind of like an ode to all the farmers, and I always do that a cappella, the verse a cappella, just to shout out all the farmers, and I'll slow it down so that people actually hear the wittiness and the things that I was trying to say, because when you hear it fast, you really can't really hear it. But yeah, I love to farm, and it was mainly about starting to eat better, and starting to, you know, watch what you eat, and, you know, start being more conscious about what you put in your body, into your you know, your fuel tank, because it's very important. And, you know, I just want to shout out to everyone who is making that change, shout out to everyone who's contemplating it, and shout out to, you know, everyone who's been doing it forever. You know, let's start eating better. That was the main thing, what I thought when we made the song, that it was a segue to saying some stuff like that about, you know, I mean, I do try to eat clean. It's a mind trick for sure. But yeah, that's what I have to say about Let's Go. Shout out to Fate again.
Thank you. Thank you, Doc.
I think the last time we were on the radio, we played that song too, so.
That's awesome.
It's a well-played song.
thank you, Doc. Juan Isidro, do you want to add a last word before we jump into the music and wrap up this morning?
Okay, so like you said, we want to work with the youth, so Taos Schools, you know, everybody in the district, TISA, Charter School, Taos Pueblo, you know, holler at us. We are more than willing and able and ready to go into the schools and share what we can, and educate the children as best we can, you know, about this poetry thing, about this hip-hop thing, about representing the Southwest, you know, about being part of a community, because that's really a big part of it. You know, this, you know, reaching out to the youth is our way of being part of the community, in a small way. You know, there's multiple other ways that we're part of the community as well. We want to thank everybody that supported us in this endeavor, and going out to the Leaf Festival and putting on the Turning Leaf Showcase at the Taos Pueblo Heritage Center and also at the TCA. Shout out to the TCA for allowing us the space. We'd love to do it again sometime, so just pick up the phone and give us a ring. We'll do it again. Same thing with the Heritage Center, Taos Pueblo, tribal government, Tobu, Tenente. their secretaries. We want to thank them for their support. The community of Taos Pueblo, the tribe of Taos Pueblo, man, everybody that came to the show, everybody that bought a t-shirt. Chief Summer, thanks for everything. And of course, you know, again, Taos Pueblo Recovery Works. Without none of this, you know, none of this would have been possible without them. James Nave, of course, you're the other half of making that connection. And to all our family and friends out there that are continuing to support us, if my kids are listening, I love you, boys. Thank you.
Thank you so much, you both, Juan Isidro and Doc, for coming into the studio this morning. Again, you're listening to KNC 93.5 FM, and this is TCA's Radio Hour, where we meet. It's supported by the Northern Rio Grande National Heritage Area.
Where the hoes at? You know I'm talking about some garden tools, gardenings and art. We need to start making it a part of all our schools. Support your local farmers market too. Let's go. Let's stop the starving soon. Grow food, not lawns, raw food, not bombs to the table from the farm. We hurrah for the harvest moon. I've been hopeless, I have failed. I've seen locusts, I've seen hail. I have reaped, I've had faith. I've heard bees, I've felt rain. True to my roots, 24 carats ain't in my jewels. It's in my soup or my juice. Let us turn up speeds I produce. Let us turn up the beats I produce. Dance for the H2O, dance for the sun to glow, dance for the soil and the seeds we sow. Let's grow, let's grow, let's grow, let's grow. Dance for the H2O, dance for the sun to glow, dance for the soil and the seeds we sow. Let's grow, let's grow, let's grow, let's grow.
Cultivating, outstanding in the fields, learning through trial and error. Compose the compost, pay attention to the patterns in the weather. Spreading your straw, get your farmer tan on. Waiting for the last frost, remember to harden off. Feeling so fresh and so green, despite the rumors of the pruners, of the streams being unclean. The moon is a bee haven, so I stay in tune, bee haven, heirloom, seed saving. My botany is chemical free, so I never went to the store and bought any trees. Biocontrol, aphids getting ate by ladybugs. Red wedding and deadheading with sheer luck. Putting in work, digging up dirt in the garden. One straw revolution, do nothing farming. Dance for the H2O, dance for the sun to glow, dance for the soil and the seeds we sow. Let's grow, let's grow, let's grow, let's grow. Dance for the H2O, dance for the sun to glow, dance for the soil and the seeds we sow. Let's grow, let's grow, let's grow, let's grow.
Hey,